engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside, wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Lord Jesus tell us in that familiar gospel passage? That the relationship he has with his mother, that most intimate relationship, for she had a unique and unrepeatable role in salvation history of giving God his humanity, of being the mother of the one who is the only mediator between God and humanity. But he could not be the only mediator without having a share in humanity. And this is where Mary comes in. But this unique relationship that she has with him, a relationship of motherhood, a relationship furthermore of fiat, perfect conformity with his will, although she had not planned it, she didn't understand it. But let it be done, Lord, as you say, your choice is first. Your will is primary. There's my freedom by submitting to you. She who had this relationship with him by that fiat represents the relationship we are all called to have with him. That's the point. That we are brought into a share in that relationship between Jesus and his mother. He's not denigrating his relationship with his mother when he does what we just read in the gospel. He's exalting it. He's saying that this precisely is the model. This precisely is the reality for all the faithful that you are called to come into this relationship with me that Mary had, that you may say fiat, that you may say thy will be done in everything, that you might unite yourself with the Father, that is holiness, that you might ponder on my words in your heart as she did, and like her in an analogous way, you may bring forth Christ to the world. Present him to the people of the earth. Witness to him. Show the world what it means to be faithful to the Father, to be a follower of the Son, to be filled with the Spirit. Show the world what it means. We're all called to do this. This is holiness. We're all empowered to do this. This is what it is to be a member of the body of Christ, to be, as he says here, even mother to him, that we nurture him, that we do what Mary did, pondering his words in her heart. Imagine how many more words of Jesus Mary heard than we hear. We have the Gospels. But that just represents, little snippets of his life. Remember what St. John said at the end of his gospel. Many other things did Jesus say and do, but if they were all recorded, I don't think the world could hold the books that would have to be written. But Mary, there in the house with Jesus in Nazareth and Joseph, how many words of Jesus did she hear and ponder? Oh, it's unimaginable. We'll learn more about that in heaven. But brothers and sisters, it was always a heart pondering that word, seeking to get to the core of it, and therefore the value of meditation. But not just looking at it in an intellectual way. This also brings in, of course, the value of catechesis and theology, studying the faith, applying human reason to the revealed truths of the faith. But what we're getting at here is the obedience, the union with the will of God. And that's what ties us in with this remembrance of Our Lady of Fatima today, because as you know, if you follow the message of Fatima, it's all about conversion, repentance, doing penance for sin. All of the private revelations that have been approved by the church are given to us by God precisely to lead us to the heart of the gospel. That's why the Holy Spirit himself is given to us, not to create a different gospel, not to open up an alternate path to salvation as if there were any alternative to Jesus Christ. There isn't. But rather the purpose is to bring us always to the core of the gospel that he taught and handed on to us. He said, when the Spirit comes, he will remind you of all things that I told you and will lead you into all truth. Truth is always consistent with itself. Nothing can contradict the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the message of Fatima is not a different gospel. It's leading us deeper into the core of the gospel. Turn away from your sins, be converted, do penance, and entrust yourselves with utter confidence, childlike trust, into the arms of the God who loves you. Now, when the children of Fatima saw the terrifying visions, including in that third secret that was revealed under John Paul II of the destroyed city and, you know, the steep mountain and the Holy Father himself walking amidst the corpses in the destroyed city and then himself being killed and then angels taking up the blood of the martyrs. We have to understand, as the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith under then Cardinal Ratzinger explained to us, that these visions are not presenting to us a predetermined fixed future. Rather, they are presented to us, as Cardinal Ratzinger said at the time, so that freedom may enter in, so that this vision of what happens when we do not convert, when we do not do penance, might stimulate us precisely to do more penance and to have more conversion, to do more prayer and fasting, so that the evils, the horrors manifested by those visions might not take place. In other words, it's not a fixed, irrevocable picture of here's what's going to happen. What it is a picture of here's evil, and I'm showing it to you so that you can reject it, so that you can avoid horrors like this. Sister Lucia, one of the three Fatima children who received these beautiful apparitions between May and October of 1917, wrote to John Paul II in 1982 and pointed out that one of the manifestations of sin in our world that God wants us to reject and to do penance for is, and I quote, violations of the rights of the human person. Well, what right is more basic than life? Foundational, fundamental. John Paul II, in those very same years, in the 1980s, wrote to the whole church and said, the fundamental condition for all other human rights is the right to life. And unless it is defended, he said, cries for human rights in other areas of social justice are false and illusory. Good thing to remember in an election year when politicians clamor for the right to health care. The right to health care. You can't have the right to health care if you don't have the right to life. It's an illusion, John Paul II said. It's an illusion to think that somebody's really concerned about health care when you're throwing babies in the garbage. You destroy a baby in the womb, you've destroyed her health care. Have you not? And if you call abortion health care, you don't know what health care is. You don't know what human rights are. The cry for human rights, John Paul II said, is false and illusory if the right to life is not defended with maximum determination. That's a lesson the Democrat Party needs to learn, and all who support abortion. Conversion, penance, conversion and turning away from the violations of the rights of the human person. When we don't do that, we bring upon ourselves our own punishment. People ask what chastisement is. Well, Sister Lucia said, It is we, the people themselves, who are preparing their own punishment. When we sin, when we turn away from life, when we reject the voice of God. She talked about the children, and the visions of Fatima related that Our Lady talked about Russia spreading her errors throughout the world. Atheistic communism and abortion. Fatima happened in 1917. You know that 3 years later, Russia legalized abortion, first modern nation to do that, and then that error spread throughout the world. And totalitarianism is connected with abortion. The idea that the person, the individual, doesn't matter. It's all about the state. The state has full control. Well, you know, again, John Paul II, going a little later into his pontificate in 1995, issued this document, Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life. And in section 20, he says that when a government legalizes abortion, he says, quote, democracy, contradicting its own principles, effectively moves towards a form of totalitarianism. Evangelium Vitae number 20. In other words, when Our Lady warned that Russia would spread its errors throughout the world, one of those key errors is legalized abortion. Abortion in itself is a curse, but then when the state legalizes it, that's a form of totalitarianism. Because as John Paul goes on to explain, quote, the state is no longer the common home where all can live together on the basis of principles of fundamental equality, but is transformed into a tyrant state. This is strong language. Which arrogates to itself the right to dispose of the life of the weakest and most defenseless members. And Pope Francis has declared in his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, that those most defenseless, for which the Church has particular concern, he said, are the unborn. As part of our process of conversion, as part of meditating, pondering the Word of God and presenting Christ to the world as Mary did, as part of doing the will of the Heavenly Father, that we may be mother and brother and sister to Jesus, and in which holiness consists, we must alert ourselves, others as individuals and families, and our political structures and candidates, those who aspire to public office and those who hold public office, that when you legalize the killing of babies, you are transforming this government into a tyrant state. One of the errors of Russia, one of the warnings of Fatima, one of the warnings of John Paul II, Saint John Paul II, and one of the messages we need to take to heart as we make our decisions in our current national elections. So, brothers and sisters, let us rejoice, because God gives us these warnings, Our Lady gives us these warnings, so precisely that we may repent. God is appealing to our freedom and empowering our freedom with His Word, with the intercession of Our Lady. Mary, pray for us. Show us the fruit of your womb and lead us to a culture of life. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.